Talk to anyone in South Louisiana, and they know the future is clouded by sea level rise and subsidence. They also know that if the master plan for the coast is not implemented on time as scheduled, Southeast Louisiana has very little chance of staying above that sea level rise. For the last 6 months, we've covered this issue, talking to the scientists involved in developing the plans, to people who will be impacted by those plans, as well as administrators and policymakers. Today, to wrap up our series, we have with us two journalists who have been covering this issue, Mark Schlefstein of NOLA.com and the Times-Picayune, and Jeff Adelson of the New Orleans Advocate. In 2007, the legislature passed the master plan for the coast. It's been updated to the 2012 plan. Mark, you've been on this beat longer than anyone. What do you think are the chances that the master plan can accomplish its goals on the time frame it is set?
When the master plan was originally approved in 2007, and actually when it was updated in 2012, there's a recognition that it is designed within the limits of the money that the state expected that it would actually be available. So while it sets a goal by 2035 of actually seeing an increase in the amount of land being produced as opposed to, you know, basically reaching parity, no net loss, you know, going above no net loss for the first time by 2035, the reality is that everybody understood that that was limited by the amount of money that was available and that the $50 billion that is in the plan is not enough. And in fact, the state had said that, you know, if it had its druthers, it would call for a $100 billion plan, but it did not expect to ever get that kind of money.
So what do you think the chances are that it will reach its goals in a time frame that it's set?
And that's the question that I didn't answer. I think it will reach its goals. I think it will be a difficult process, but I think that one of the things that will help it along rather dramatically is the money from the BP oil spill, which we're already seeing kicking in. The state's going to have probably at least $5 billion and maybe as much as $10 billion that will come out of the spill, both from fines and from the natural resource damage assessment over the next 10 to 20 years. That will give it at least a base amount of money, while at the same time it's waiting for the federal dollars to kick in, about $200 million a year from offshore oil beginning in 2017.
Jeff, what is your idea about the chances of success for this plan?
I think the unknown is we're talking about a plan that stretches over 50 years. A lot can happen politically in that time. And we've already seen fights in the legislature dealing with the BP money that's supposed to go toward the master plan. Legislative fights over whether there's a way to override that. Lawmakers trying to give themselves some leeway, to give themselves an out to redirect that money to other uses if they want. Where you end up seeing the issue is whether the political will continues to exist over this time frame, whether the money that's supposed to go to the plan continues to do so. If I had to bet whether this was going to work exactly the way that it's envisioned, I can't see that happening. I think we are looking at such a catastrophic cost of failure that there's a good possibility that it will at least be implemented to an extent to stave off that kind of catastrophe.
Mark, what is the feeling among scientists across the nation about this plan, given the recent mid-level forecasts for sea level rise and then our subsidence combining for relative sea level rise? Do they think this is a waste of money, or is this a good investment?
Well, I think they're basically holding out to see what the next steps are and to see what the actual projects will look like. There's no question that there are issues that still have not been answered, questions that are going to have to be dealt with on a case-by-case basis as we move towards the actual construction of these projects. The first one is going to be that Mid-Barataria one, and it will be a real test of whether or not they can actually design these things to capture sediment in just the right way, to make sure that it works properly and that they're not screwing up fisheries to a significant point.
Let me ask you, put you on the spot here. If you had to bet all your financial worth on the
Oh, that would be very easy.
Okay. if you were forced to choose and your financial worth was at stake, would you say this will work as planned, that this will, in fact, quote, save the coast, and in 50 years there'll be more land being built than lost, and in fact we will be safe from sea level rise and hurricanes, or not?
Okay. So there are a lot of ifs in there, and the biggest one is sea level rise. And the question is, how quickly is sea level rise going to occur? And we don't know the answer to that. That is the great unknown. And one of the ironies here is that we are in a state that is actually becoming one of the major creators of carbon dioxide in the world, as a result of all of this construction that's going on, as a result of fracking, drilling for oil and doing directional drilling and that sort of a thing. And, you know, it's part of our traditional schizophrenia in that we are trying desperately to restore our coast any way we possibly can, while at the same time increasing the specific chemicals that may be in speeding up the process of losing the coast. So I don't think we have a choice.
So you would bet out of faith because you have nothing else left, basically.
That's basically
it. You couldn't afford to bet against it because you'd have no place to live.
The reasons to do it lie in the post-Katrina reality, which is that not only do we need these wetlands for fisheries, which is extremely important and often is ignored in today's real world, but much more importantly, we need these wetlands as a buffer for the new levees that we put up around New Orleans and the new levees that are going up around other communities.
So if I'm hearing you right, it's not a guarantee. There are lots of questions unanswered that could mean this could fail very easily. But because you're in a catch-22 situation where failure really isn't an option, you'll just have to put your faith and support behind it.
At the moment, I think that's where the state is certainly directed.
Do you think people in this state, even in this area, understand what's at risk?
I think people are at least familiar with it. People may not know all the technical details, but I think certainly in the New Orleans area, people are aware it's an issue, are aware, at least in general terms, about the master plan and to varying degrees about the problems.
Well, thank you for helping us today. Mark Schlefstein with NOLA.com and the Times-Picayune, and Jeff Adelson of the New Orleans Advocate.
Thank you.
Thank you.